Chapter 9, Alignment Subsystem. As Russell Acuff said, quote, "Most corporate mission statements are worthless. They consist largely of pious platitudes such as, we will hold ourselves to the highest standards of professionalism and ethical behavior. They often formulate necessities as objectives. For example, to achieve sufficient profit. This is like a person saying his mission is to breathe sufficiently. Enabling organizational alignment. Alignment means there is agreement, first, among the leadership, and second, between the leadership and the organization, from middle management to frontline employees. Deming master Walter Werner wrote of the importance of setting a clear vision. This applies to leaders of teams, departments, divisions, and organizations. Quote, leadership isn't about managing things and telling people what to do with those things. Leadership starts with a vision. Leadership creates a plan to accomplish the vision. Leadership then shares and explains the plan. Finally, leadership sets the entire organization on a path to fulfill the plan. The only thing you need to manage is matching resources to the plan as they are required. How many executives think their role is to manage the stock price, market share, customer satisfaction, the board, and the media? Do all that exceedingly well, and your competitors will put you out of business in 5 years. The statistics about how few people are engaged are depressing. Only leadership can change that. Everything we do must eventually persuade, educate, motivate, and kickstart leadership. You can start at the bottom, the middle, or the top, depending upon which doors are open to you. In the end, there is only one goal, to change the way leadership is practiced. I believe, and conversations with Japanese company leaders confirm, that while the Japanese did a spectacular job implementing Deming's teachings in the factory, they didn't do so well with applying systems thinking to strategy, innovation, and how the organization works together. Now, in the 1980s, this didn't matter, because to win market share, all they had to do was to create better quality versus the versions of the products being made by Western companies. When Japanese companies like Toyota went from following the big three to being the leader, they lost direction. They needed a bigger vision for the future. They needed to define how they were going to grow the market they were in and what new markets they would enter. The Innovation Engineering Alignment System makes it easy to apply the system mindset of Dr. Deming to strategy, innovation, and how we work together. Alignment systems enable you to be the leader you dreamed you would be. When you dreamed of becoming the leader of your team, department, division, or company, you pledged you would be a different type of leader. You would be progressive, inspirational, supportive. However, if you're like me, when you became the leader, you found that there was so much stuff going on that it was hard to be the leader you dreamed you would be. I became reactionary instead of proactive, micromanaging instead of inspirational, and judging instead of supportive. As I've aged, from my early years at Procter & Gamble through my time as CEO of various companies that I founded, I've become more and more aware of when I am not acting the way I want to act. My awareness is helped by Maggie Nichols, President and CEO of The Ranch and the Innovation Engineering Institute, when she pulls me aside and says, quote, "What you just did in that meeting was not helpful to what I am trying to accomplish with the team." Now, part of my problem is that I'm a baby boomer who grew up in a time when it was acceptable to lead with command and control methods. Today, this approach is too slow, too dependent on the leader, and frankly, not motivating to millennials or anyone else. Another flaw in my leadership is caused by my deep and detailed domain knowledge about our work. My experience with thousands of projects, quantitative research on innovation systems, and deep reading of thousands of academic articles can make me very impatient with those who are not keeping up. I am also blessed or cursed with incredible energy and passion for innovation. I really, really love helping accelerate wow ideas. However, my knowledge and passion can make me impatient. I am fortunate because when I complain about someone or something being too slow, my wife of 40 plus years says, quote, "Remember, they aren't you. They don't know what you know. You need to slow down and teach them. They can't read your mind." The alignment systems described in this chapter are an antidote to my leadership challenges. They enable me to be the leader I dreamed I would be. They also give me freedom of mind and spirit, because I know that even when I'm off traveling the world, the Eureka Ranch, Innovation Engineering, and Brain Brew Custom Whiskey teams are doing the right things for the right reasons in the right ways. Alignment, the rational and emotional benefits. The importance of alignment is found in multiple studies of innovation results. One, Innovation Engineering Institute research finds that those companies in the top 20% of our innovation alignment survey versus those in the bottom 30% are 300% more likely to be successful with their innovations. That's 300%, not 10%, not 20%, not 30%. Two, research reported in Research Technology Management found that the three biggest drivers of innovation portfolio success are 1, project aligned with business objective, 2, portfolio contains very high value projects, and 3, development spending reflects the business's strategy. 3, research of innovators attending the annual Innovation Engineering Conference on their biggest innovation challenge found that most, some 62%, felt lack of alignment was their top challenge. This was followed by a need to increase speed, decrease risk, 27%, and a need for new ideas, 11%. And finally, number 4, research from FastBridge in Europe found that strategic alignment had the highest correlation with positive business results, that's sales and profit growth. It was higher than even customer focus, co-creation, risk-taking, creativity, and competitiveness. The two most important alignments. The two most important alignments are 1, vertical alignment, connecting leadership strategy for growth with employee projects, and 2, horizontal alignment, connecting across departmental silos on innovation project management, what to do, why to do, and how to turn an idea into reality. Improving vertical alignment between strategy and projects is the most impactful thing you can do as a leader of a company, division, department, or work group. It's the best way to improve your innovation success rates. When there is clarity on what the mission is, why it's important, and the boundaries, both strategically and tactically, then the employees are free to think, create, and activate your vision. There are hundreds of ways to create and activate strategy. Most don't work. Here are some examples. Strategic alignment metrics. These don't work, as the focus is on inspecting individual department outputs as opposed to optimization of the interaction of departments. It is not uncommon for every department manager to achieve his or her metrics while a company is going out of business. That's because extrinsic metrics have replaced intrinsic focus on the broader mission. Remember, 94% is the system, 6% is the worker. Inspirational talks on strategic vision don't work. They don't work because the pressures of the day-to-day make them fade from memory within hours. Inspiration without enablement of employees to take action is a waste of energy. Micromanaging to align to strategy doesn't work. The good employees soon get frustrated and say something along the lines of, quote, "Do you want to run this project or do you want me to run it?" By the way, what's worse is when they think it, but they don't say it. This creates an employee engagement cancer. When ideas moved slowly, there was time to make lots of mid-course corrections to maintain alignment. However, as employees learn how to create, communicate, and commercialize, ideas move much, much faster. And this faster speed amplifies the problems caused by lack of alignment. Reworks, starts, stops, and restarts create stress. Work is no longer fun. The more this happens, the lower the return you realize from your human capital. Soon, once energetic employees stop raising their hands to volunteer for innovation projects, as they see it as just not worth the effort. I personally hit a crisis when I had to tell one of the Eureka Ranch employees that the idea she was pursuing needed to be stopped because of some broader company issues. She asked, "How could I know that?" "I understand what you're saying, but what is our system for helping me not waste my time like I have? It's very frustrating to waste my time." Now, at the same time as this conversation, feedback from the innovation engineering community found similar challenges. As our methods for accelerating innovation speed improved, employee frustration with leadership decision cycles also amplified. What we needed was a way for leadership to define the strategic mission and boundaries so to let the people work as fast as possible without requiring approval each step of the way. Strategy activation, the blue card. When I asked the community of innovation engineering black belts on their private collaboration cafe online forum about their challenges with strategic focus, the outpouring was overwhelming. They spoke of working for months on an innovation only to be told by management that the project was no longer a priority. They gave examples of getting stuck in mind-numbing rework loops between marketing, finance, and product development on the final design of an innovation. This set off dozens of plan-do, study-act experiments to create, develop, and validate what has come to be known as the blue card. The most common dysfunction we observed was that instead of having a mission with a clear strategic direction and boundaries, the strategy statement was just a set of metrics. Strategy by numbers results in each division, department, and employee focusing on their number, be it a KPI or key performance indicator or metric. Achieving their number is more important to them than the success of the organization. This is because leadership makes it clear to them, either overtly or subconsciously, that their number defines their bonus, their ability to get promoted, their ability to keep their job. The consequence is that collaboration is only pursued when it will help each group member hit their numbers. The polar opposite of strategy by numbers was strategy by grand vision. In these cases, leadership's vision was so big picture that no one understood what it meant and what their role was to make the vision happen. Setting strategy is deciding where to focus organizational resources so to best achieve the aim of the organization. Strategy is selecting where to go. Strategy is about making decisions. Strategy is about focus, focus, focus. Strategy is set by leadership, as only leadership has the breadth of view across the whole organization. The employees can't set the strategic direction. Only leadership can. Note, throughout this chapter, when I reference leadership, this ideally means the leadership of the organization. However, this can also mean leadership of a division, department, work team, or an individual's leadership of their own work. When leadership sets a clear and focused strategy, the result is a force multiplier of effectiveness. Employees and leadership are aligned on what the very important strategic missions are, why they are very important, and what the boundaries are to the scope. Strategic clarity creates a shared sense of mission that invites collaboration. To develop the blue card, we ran lots of experiments and did lots of stimulus mining. During the process, we learned that we were reinventing something that the military of the USA, Canada, and all NATO countries had already created. A United States Marine explained it to me this way. Years ago, the military was focused on instant, willing obedience to orders. Today, we give the mission and explain why. When the troops know the mission and why it's important, we leverage their skills and knowledge. End quote. Instant, willing obedience to orders is not fun. It's slavery. It turns employees into zombies. It creates disengagement between employees and the work. Today, the military enables the troops to both think and do. They call it commander's intent. And here's the definition. Commander's intent, a clear and concise expression of the purpose of the operation and the desired end state that supports mission command, provides focus to the staff and helps subordinate and supporting commanders act to achieve the commander's desired result without further order, even when the operation does not unfold as planned. To distill commander's intent into a simple statement, they say this, quote, in the absence of further orders, you would know what to do, end quote. A Harvard Business Review article in the November 2010 issue described commander's intent this way. How does your team respond when a plan changes? Does everyone seem to know what to do, or is there a confusion, a lack of meaningful activity, or people standing around waiting to be told what to do next? Planning is difficult, whether in business or the military. Military planners use commander's intent, a key element to help a plan maintain relevancy and applicability in a chaotic, dynamic, and resource-constrained environment. Commander's intent is the description and definition of what a successful mission will look like. Employees must understand the plan and know when they have to deviate to ensure the commander's intent is accomplished. Military personnel have to employ a spectrum of improvisation when they execute commander's intent and as they adapt the plan to meet commander's intent. When a mission is being defined, the leadership originally got 1/3 of the time available before deployment for developing their commander's intent. The troops are given 2/3 of the time available to do their planning. A lieutenant colonel in the Canadian Armed Forces told me that currently NATO countries have reduced the time available for leadership planning to 20%, with 80% of available planning time going to the troops. He explained, quote, "As a commander, there is no way I have the specialized knowledge of the equipment and systems that the troops have. Given the complexity of today's equipment and systems, it makes sense that the troops will require more time for planning," end quote. Now contrast 20-80 with the classic strategic planning process of many organizations. For many, leadership takes 9 months to develop a strategy, leaving the employees with no time to plan or to do before the strategic planning process begins again. This is no way for an organization to win in today's fast-paced, technology-enabled world. Blue Card, a system for activating vertical strategic alignment. We ran many experiments with different ways to communicate leadership's growth strategy. The result was given the name Blue Card. It was printed on blue paper, the color of the Innovation Engineering logo, in recognition of its importance. The purpose of the blue card is to maximize alignment between leadership strategy and how employees invest available time and energy. Blue cards provide a method for leaders to activate the strategy for where they want to take the organization. It helps them focus the time, energy, and money of the organization, no matter how large the organization is, on what is very important. The blue card activates strategy with a set of very simple elements. 1. Scope. The card starts with some simple yes-no questions to help define the scale of your mission. Questions such as A, very important opportunity or very important system. This defines if we are looking for new or improved offerings or internal systems for how we work. B, looking for leap innovations or core innovations. This defines if we are looking for high risk and reward leap ideas or lower risk and reward core ideas. C, long-term strategic blue card or project-specific blue card. This defines if this is a longer-term initiative that could have many projects or if it's a more focused, shorter-term project. D, this is for the entire organization or for a specific division or department. This defines the scope of who is involved with the strategic mission. Number 2, name. Here we give the blue card a name that is suggestive of the mission. This name then gives clarity and focus to the strategic mission. Number 3, narrative. Here we tell the story of why it is very important that we focus energy on this blue card. The narrative should be so clear that if employees get no further direction, they'll be motivated to work on the blue card and will know exactly what the leadership's intent is. The narrative describes in simple language why it is very important that employees focus energy on this mission. Just as in the military, the narrative is written personally by the leader of the project, division, or company. It cannot be outsourced to others. Only the leader has the breadth of understanding to craft the precise words that define the project narrative. The leader's narrative speaks precisely to the head and heart of employees. It explains why this strategic mission is very important to the organization. It motivates employees and ignites intrinsic motivation. Writing a motivating narrative is not easy. It's hard. It's really hard. However, it's well worth the effort because great blue cards inspire great yellow cards. The narrative section takes up the most space on the physical blue card. It was first suggested by Joe Canfer, Chairman and CEO of Gojo Industries, as he explained, quote, People are motivated by narratives, not by metrics. Number four, strategic mission. Here we finish the sentence with one mission, as in we need ideas for blank. This is real important that we make it one simple statement. We need ideas for blank. Great mission statements make choices that give focus to employees. They provide direction, but not a prescription. Missions that are vague result in wasted effort. Missions that are prescriptive waste the creative energy of employees. And unless leadership is perfect with their prescriptions, there's a high chance of innovation failure. We found that it is very important that the mission be focused on one thing. If you need ideas for multiple things, think harder about it. Do you really need both, or are you simply not making a choice? Focus, focus, focus. What is the one thing you need? What is the one thing that when you accomplish it, it will set off a chain reaction of positives? Number five, boundaries. These define the scope of the project. By being clear with our intentions, they reduce waste and rework. They provide rules of engagement to employees. Boundaries are both strategic and tactical. Strategic exclusions. These are the ideas or types of ideas we're not interested in. Here we define what kind of ideas we are not looking for. Tactical constraints. These provide specific clarity on tactical issues. It can include minimum sales goals, test standards, investment rules, timing expectations. I found that it is often difficult for business leaders to be honest with boundaries. When they admit the truth, they are often embarrassed by their reality, their lack of resources, their short-term thinking, their unreasonable timelines. But not defining the real boundaries at the start creates frustration later. When a go, no-go decision needs to be made, it is not the time for a team to learn about a strategic or tactical boundary. Six, exploration areas, innovation roadmaps. The final section of the card has two options, depending on if it's a short-term project versus a long-term blue card. Project-specific exploration areas. These are areas to consider when creating yellow cards to address this blue card mission. It is common to conduct stimulus mining on these areas, resulting in a spark deck that is used to ignite ideas as part of a create session. To encourage in-depth immersive mining versus skimming the surface when preparing for a session, it is recommended that a project-specific blue card have no more than three exploration areas. Now, importantly, these are theories. They're theories on how to best address the blue card mission. And as theories, they are suggestions, not orders. With the innovation engineering mindset, leadership and employees embrace never-ending continuous improvement. It is expected that exploration areas will change as leadership and employees learn more during their work on the mission. Long-term innovation roadmaps. It is common for organizations to begin their innovation engineering journey with the acceleration of one or more individual innovation projects. And this is valuable as it builds sales and profits as well as cultural confidence and capability. The next phase of strategic development for leadership is to set a long-term innovation or technology roadmap. The roadmap defines an estimate of the technologies and innovations the organization will pursue over the next 2 to 5 years in support of this long-term strategy, with estimates of start dates. The roadmap makes it easy for everyone to understand how today's projects connect to the longer-term strategic plan. And again, as with exploration areas, they are theories based on what is known at the time. We expect them to evolve as we learn more and as market conditions change. Innovation pathway tagging. The most advanced growth strategy subsystem is to set strategic areas for innovation investment. Where roadmaps most often set the strategic direction for this year, next year, etc., innovation pathways set the areas that will be explored by the organization today. Area 1, Area 2, Area 3. The innovation pathway approach goes by multiple names, including innovation pathways, strategic clusters, innovation investment areas. They're even called technology roadmaps by some companies. Innovation pathways are leadership's proactive declaration of where the leadership has decided to focus research and development investments. This includes both internal invention and outside licensing or purchasing of technologies and patents. They are structured, longer-term visions of project exploration areas. Innovation pathways create a concentration of energy in a strategic area that builds internal expertise as well as marketplace clarity on what sets your brand apart from others. They are especially helpful when you have a really big and bold mission. Major strategic challenges are worthy missions. However, if we are not careful, they become vague statements that provide no direction. The result is massive waste, as it is left to employees to figure out where to focus their energy. The Innovation Engineering Institute team learned this the hard way. Our simple mission is to develop systems that enable everyone to increase innovation speed and decrease risk. At first, this was fine, as we had a mission without specifics. However, as more and more creativity was applied, we were soon flooded with tools and systems for increasing speed and decreasing risk. To bring order to the situation, Maggie Nichols, President and CEO, and Scott Dunkel, VP of Technology, and I met to bring order to the chaos. Our challenge was to put in a system that enabled and didn't control creativity. Following a couple of PDSA learning cycles, we ended up with a set of simple innovation development pathways that defined what method we would use to increase innovation speed and decrease risk. In our case, they were also the first level menu items on our website. Innovation Project Pipeline, Collaboration Cafe, Merwin Rapid Research, Patent ROI, Classroom and Tools. Within the ielabs.com software, Innovation Pathways is a company customizable option. They make it easy to sort and view the organization's pipeline of innovation projects on their metrics dashboard. Blue cards, ideal implementation. In the ideal implementation, the organization's blue cards lay out a clear, complete, and motivating vision for where the organization is going. The blue cards articulate what are the very important areas for new or improved services, products, and internal systems. The organization's blue cards cascade through the organization's divisions and departments. Each of these subordinate blue cards defines how that division or department helps the organization achieve the overall blue cards. There are often one or two additional blue cards that are specific to each division or department. These local cards often are designed to support future needs. They often focus on improving effectiveness or greater efficiency through enabling education, tools, or improved systems that the department needs today or will need in the future. The blue cards are the organizational structure for activating the leadership's strategic vision for where they want the organization to go. Each blue card has an innovation pipeline of projects, that is, a collection of yellow cards underneath it. Blue cards enable employees to contribute their ideas. Teresa Amilba, writing in the Harvard Business Review, explained it this way, quote, "Creativity thrives when managers let people decide how to climb a mountain. They didn't, however, let employees choose which one." A primary indication that the organization has achieved a true strategic focus is when the agenda of company board meetings and leadership team meetings is two-thirds focused on reviewing where the company is going, as defined by blue cards, followed by one-third on short-term issues. Horizontal alignment across departments. Horizontal alignment across departments provides clarity on how innovations go from idea to reality. The process is accomplished through a set of checklists that define what death threats and milestones need to be accomplished, why they are important to be addressed, and how, the organization's best practices for accomplishing the death threats and milestones. As explained in the previous chapter, when an employee understands what and why a death threat exists, they are empowered with knowledge. But when they know how to address it, they're actually enabled to overcome it. When employees are provided descriptions of how, there is increased speed and less waste, as they have standardized work plans to get them started. The how section of checklists provide details, including 1, clear instructions on tools and techniques for resolving the death threat or milestone. 2, videos that educate when there is a specialized technique or an especially important organizational perspective. And 3, links to internal and external organizational experts who can help. Frankly, the benefit of what, why, how checklists are a no-brainer. When employees have clarity on why milestones are important and how to resolve them, then innovation projects run faster and smarter. Where there is no definition of why and how, then employees are left to guess for the best way to resolve the death threat or milestone. Then the result is chaos, randomness, wasted time, and epic frustrations. A checklist is needed because of the variance in innovation projects. The most obvious example is that incremental core innovations are different than disruptive leap innovations. With core innovations, the focus is on discipline and attention to details. With leap innovations, the focus is on learning, as these types of innovations, by definition, have more unknown dimensions. A library of best practices checklists is built into IE Labs, making it easy to customize a specialized list for your organization. If your organization already has a phase or stage gate checklist, it is easy to upgrade it, adding why and how. In time, you can add additional checklists for the different types of projects that your company executes repeatedly. Each checklist is customized based on the organization's unique requirements. Checklists that define what, why, how align how departments work together to accomplish organizational blue cards. For example, when someone has never done a sales forecast before and a checklist requires it, it also directs them to talk to finance for help. And because finance is aware of the requirement, they aren't surprised or alarmed when a project leader asks for help with a sales forecast. This simple clarity on how we work together enables horizontal alignment. The other two alignments. Vertical and horizontal alignment are the two most important alignments. But there are two others that help increase speed and decrease risk. Project team alignment. This is how teams manage their projects. The alignment system for teams is simple. It's the Plan, Do, Study, Act method detailed in Chapter 8, Learning Mindset Commercialize. The PDSA process provides structure to the work. It creates a culture driven by learning, by facts, and discovery. In the absence of PDSA, politics, debate, and rework are epidemic. The other alignment is customer alignment. This is how we get feedback on our innovations from potential customers, or in the case of system innovations, from internal stakeholders. It's a process of never-ending learning. Customer alignment is built into innovation engineering checklists at every phase: define, discover, develop, and deliver. It's about creating prototypes and reviewing them with potential customers or internal stakeholders in the case of system innovations. Innovation alignment, putting it all together. Alignment with the innovation engineering approach is a simple structure. At the top is strategy structure. Here, blue cards define what is very important for the organization to focus its energy on. It makes it easy to communicate the strategic missions that leadership believes are the very important areas to focus innovation resources on. Next is idea structure. Yellow cards define specific innovation projects that address the mission laid out on a blue card. They are written from the perspective of the ultimate customer or stakeholder in clear and easy to understand language. So, having defined the strategy and the idea clearly with a common structure, we next move to the risk management process. This is the structure through which yellow card defined innovations move across the organizational silos from idea to reality. It includes a set of phases such as define, discover, develop, and deliver, plus a checklist of key tasks to be done. Now, as stated earlier, it documents 1, what tasks, be it death threats or milestones, need to be resolved to move an innovation forward, 2, why the tasks are important, and 3, how to accomplish the tasks. The addition of why and how to the classic what transform innovation systems from a focus on control to one of enabling. When employees know why and how, they become more engaged and enabled. Most important, innovation checklists undergo never-ending innovation. Every month at System Summits, they are refined and made smarter. Next in our overall system is the work process. This is how teams work through the risk management process to turn ideas into reality. It's focused on disciplined cycles of factual learning that follows the Deming cycle, plan, do, study, act, to address death threats or reach milestones. PDSA maximizes alignment within the work team. Focused and fact-based learning replaces politics and opinions. The result is leadership and employees find more joy in their work. Finally, the foundation of innovation engineering is our fundamental operating principles. All of our work and interactions are guided by three simple principles. One, explore stimulus. Two, leverage diversity. And three, drive out fear. Frequently asked questions about alignment. One, we have too many projects already. How can we handle more? It is nearly universal that work and projects expand to fill the time available for them. It's rare that managers and employees have nothing to do. When we define the organization's blue cards and then define the yellow cards for the projects that are underway, we often find that over half of the projects are either not aligned to strategy or are seriously flawed in design of customer, problem, promise, proof, or math game plan. For example, when real math is applied to cost savings projects, it is not uncommon to find that while they are all helpful, many are just not worth the effort. In one case, a company I worked with defined every project on a yellow card along with the math for them. What they found was that if every project was 100% successful, they would achieve less than 25% of their growth objective. To use the physics definition, everyone was busy expending effort, but meaningful work wasn't being accomplished. Frequently asked question number two. What if when we engage employees in innovation, we have too many projects? How do we handle that? Well, this is a great problem to have, and the fix is really easy. You simply return to your blue cards and adjust your boundaries. If your blue card is a tactical boundary that all cost savings projects must have a minimum value of $1,000, move the boundary up to $5,000. If your blue card is a tactical boundary that all growth projects must generate at least $1 million in revenue, move the boundary up to $5 million. Number three, don't boundaries reduce creativity? Well, done wrong, they do, especially if you are so prescriptive with your boundaries that there are no degrees of freedom for creating innovative solution. Done right, the boundaries ignite deeper thinking. They reduce wasted effort. They also ignite employee motivation, as there is real clarity on what the commander's intent is and isn't. Four, how do we ensure we are working on the right projects, that is, yellow cards? The key to innovation engineering is that employees get to pick which projects they want to volunteer their time on in addition to their regular job during Define and Discover. This can cause some managers to get very nervous as they want to control which projects are worked on. Don't. The minute management becomes judge and jury selecting projects, the motivation of employees dies. In place of saying yes or no to innovations, leadership has three tools that provide direction without destroying employee motivation. These include one, boundaries on the blue card, two, the specifics and the what, why, how of the checklist, and three, setting the plan standards as management coach. If as a leader, you have an idea you want to pursue and no one wants to volunteer for it, then you have three choices. Provide an inspirational vision in the concept or math that ignites employee interest. Two, archive the idea. Or three, become the project leader of the project and run it yourself. Five, what is the right number of blue cards? I don't worry too much about the number of blue cards at the start. If an organization follows a process and has strategy summits every 3 months as part of management and board meetings, then the number of cards quickly gets to the right number. Now, for those looking for a more specific answer, an executive at a session in northern Italy had a reasonable definition. He said we should have no more than we can count on one hand. Five is close to what we see at high-performance companies. These usually include two long-term cards, two short-term cards, and one card focused on operational improvements, be it cost, productivity, or quality. Myself, I like to focus energy, even with large companies, on just two cards. One for how the organization will grow, and one for how the organization will work smarter. That is, improve its way of working. This level of clarity requires deep strategic thinking. It's rare that it occurs, however. But when it does, it has a transformational impact on the organization. Note, in all cases, the above-mentioned numbers are overall organizational blue cards. It is expected that each division, department, or operating company underneath the overall company will have their own blue cards. Some of these will align with the overall blue cards, and some will be unique for each group. Six, it appears we have too many strategic priorities. Will this approach just not work for us? This is very common because many leaders have not learned the definition of the words very important. I've seen 15, 25, 50, and even 115 strategic priorities. Now, there's reasons for this. One, the leadership confuses KPIs, key performance indicators, with strategy. Two, the leadership micromanages by defining strategy as projects. Three, the leadership doesn't know where they want the organization to go, so they start covering every possible option. This last reason is one of the most difficult to resolve, as it requires the leadership to admit they don't know. A disciplined blue card session, leveraging stimulus and diversity from across the organization, is available within innovation engineering to help you get a clear direction. These blue cards are, to paraphrase George Box, wrong but useful. Over a year of quarterly strategy summits, the blue cards become even more useful as the organization and leadership evolves, adapts, and improves them. Seven, in your discussion about blue cards, you never spoke about leveraging our strengths. I'm not a big fan of focusing on company strengths. What I've observed is that when companies do that, they end up justifying the same old, same old. Their innovation pipeline of 100% core innovations is justified based on their strengths. While they optimize their existing offering, the marketplace moves on to new technologies or options. When an innovation is meaningfully unique, there is a good chance that the internal resources will not be able to support the design, develop, manufacturing, packaging, or marketing of the idea. To reduce risk in these situations, we recommend that the organization collaborate with partners outside the organization to make the idea a reality. As I write this, I'm reminded of a story my dad told me of a project he worked on at National Corporation to increase the production capacity of a product they made at their factory in Merrimack, New Hampshire. When he looked outside the company, he found a vendor in Wisconsin that, because of a more efficient production system, could actually produce and deliver the product to Merrimack, New Hampshire at a lower cost than that factory could manufacture the same product. 8. We have an annual strategy system. How does this fit with it? The simple way to integrate it is to separate strategy from budgeting. What the innovation engineering alignment process does is turn strategy from a batch process to one that approaches continuous flow. This enables a longer-term strategic focus. Budgeting is handled separately from strategy. That's not to say that learnings identified in the business review and budgeting process don't cause impacts to blue cards. However, the primary focus of budget reviews moves to tactical yellow cards instead of strategic blue cards. Alignment is easy when you're going out of business. Alignment is the primary reason why small business startups are 10 times more successful with innovations than large companies. That's a fact. 50% versus 5% survive for at least 3 years. With a startup, there is alignment on the strategic mission of staying in business. The CEO or owner has line of sight to all departments, and great small business owners reinforce the mission of survival to everyone every day. Alignment also occurs when a company is threatened with going out of business. Suddenly, old battles, prejudices, and misperceptions are vanquished as survival is at stake. When this occurs, the organization suddenly becomes more productive, creative, and inventive. I have been blessed, and yes, I said blessed, with experiencing this level of alignment many times in my life. However, without a doubt, the most memorable time was when I was a very young assistant brand manager at Procter & Gamble, working on an innovative toilet bowl cleaner called Brigade. It was meaningfully unique in that it was the only automatic toilet bowl cleaner that both cleaned and sanitized the toilet because of a patented dispensing system. As a true innovation, the product was priced at a premium. However, in test markets, the competition reacted fiercely with price discounts, causing P&G to respond with a wide range of promotions and coupons. It was my job to develop the national expansion plans for the brand. I wrote the recommendation, and one Friday I learned it had made it up the line to the desk of the CEO, John Smale. But that weekend, something was bugging me about the test market data. I did a pricing analysis using VisiTrend and a VisiCalc spreadsheet. To my shock, I discovered that with a different set of assumptions of net consumer price, my national sales forecast dropped by as much as 50%. Now, while we could justify a higher price than competition, the pricing premium we were projecting was simply too high for the sales volume we needed to pay out the cost of the marketing investment to go national. On Monday morning, I met with the project team to review my findings. It included representatives from manufacturing, R&D, sales, and others. It was not a positive meeting. The team questioned my data and analysis. Even my boss didn't support me. It didn't help that the company had already invested $50 million in building a plant to manufacture the product. No one would listen to me. A couple of days later, I got very frustrated because I had gone to P&G because I really bought into the idea that the culture preached. They preached that they do the right things in the right way. In an amazing coincidence of timing, that week a recruiter offered me a very cool job working for Pizza Hut. Now, given my absolute love of pizza, as anyone who's attended Innovation College will attest, it was a natural fit for me. I finally got so frustrated that I told my boss I was thinking of leaving the company because I just didn't believe in what I was doing. Within 30 minutes, I was sitting with Ross Love, advertising manager for the division. He said, quote, "We will talk about you leaving in a few minutes. First, I'm going to tie your feet to that chair and have you explain this data on Brigade that you found. I need to understand it in detail." I took Ross through the data, step by step, explained my thinking, what I was confident of and what I wasn't confident of. He asked deep questions on each point. Then he did something that for the rest of my life, I will not forget. Without hesitation, he picked up the phone and called the CEO's office and said, quote, "John, you have a recommendation on your desk for the national expansion of Brigade. Take no action on it. I have just been shown new information that leads me to believe it might be a mistake to expand it. We will know more within a week." He turned to me and said, quote, "We need you here, Doug. I need you here. What is this about leaving the company?" Ross's action were a bold demonstration of leadership and character. My Pizza Hut dream job was quickly forgotten. This was someone I wanted to work for. This was someone who I believed in. I was given a team of experts to take my analysis to the next level. Within a week, the project was put on hold. However, given the investment, the team was given 30 days to see if they could reduce the cost of the product to hit the price point needed. And it was my job to help lead the effort. While not everyone was happy with me, the P&G culture of doing the right thing in the right way accepted and supported me. The stress of us, quote, going out of business created an amazing level of alignment. Within 30 days, the product was reinvented and the price reduced from $1.95 to $1.29. We changed the name, the packaging, created and filmed a new commercial, ran consumer research, and wrote a new expansion recommendation that detailed the benefits and the risks associated with the project. At the final meeting to decide Brigade's fate, all but one voted to archive the project because the risks still outweighed the benefits. The one person who said yes did so because he didn't want it to be unanimous and didn't want to give up on it yet. The net conclusion of the meeting was if we'd confronted this reality earlier, it might have worked. But the costs of retooling were so great, and at the lower net price, the profit return just wasn't there. What did I learn from the Brigade experience? 1. Alignment makes the impossible possible. When a team has true alignment on what really matters, miracles can occur. In a month, the unthinkable was accomplished. Alignment is more than a written mission statement. It's what the project leader says and does every day. 2. Confront reality and do the math early and frequently. The Brigade experience is the key reason why I am such a fanatic about doing math early and frequently during the innovation process. My rants are legendary on no math, no project. And importantly, the math can't be outsourced. The project team, and in particular the project leader, must be able to do the math. I believe that if you can't do the math, that is the cost and the sales forecasting, then you can't successfully lead an innovation project. Project leaders who don't do and feel the math can't make the right trade-off decisions. 3. Great leadership matters. Ross loves action, without hesitation, going above his boss and his boss's boss, directly to the CEO, taught me what a great leader does. He had no problem admitting a possible mistake. He didn't play games, he didn't hedge it, he just said it. I would observe him exhibit inspiring honesty a number of times over the year. Sadly, Ross has passed away. However, his memory lives on these pages and in the soul of the innovation engineering movement. Closing thoughts on alignment. Generating alignment when you are going out of business is easy. The real leadership challenge is generating alignment when you are not going out of business. It requires constant effort by the leadership. Amy Dobrynetsky, CFO of the Student Conservation Association and an early supporter of innovation engineering, described her vision of what it takes to gain alignment. Quote, "It starts by working with managers to help them understand that they must be the change they seek first. They themselves must change before they ask their staff to do something else. Their job is to think ahead and forecast where the organization needs to go and then chart the path for the company to take. The staff will rise to the challenge if a path is provided. Setting the strategy is management's job, igniting hope for the future. That is leadership doing their job." What did you learn? Think of a time when you had very clear alignment with your leader's vision. Think of a time when you didn't have alignment with your leader. Think of when you were the leader and had alignment or didn't have it. How did you feel when you had alignment and didn't have it? On a very important project you are working on at this moment, what is the narrative, the why behind the project? What are the boundaries, both strategic and tactical, that you've agreed to?